What we've been waiting for all night was the number three pick because of the news this afternoon, and it continues to break here, Chuck. We've got at least some sources here. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Atlanta and Dallas have agreed to a deal. League sources telling ESPN they will trade number three and number five picks, sending Luka Doncic to Dallas and Trae Young to Atlanta. Dallas will send Atlanta a future first. So that scenario that we discussed earlier looks as if Dallas caved on this one, and it's going to send
I would
pick.
Love to have said something, but my Wi-Fi is just completely crapped out here, so I apologize for that. But we'll hear the Luka Doncic pick, and then you'll know for sure that the deal has gone down when Trae Young is announced as the Mavericks pick.
And it's important to note on this as well, Coop, that we're not talking about moving players anymore. Before, it was Kent Bazemore, and that contract is two more years coming over, and Wesley Matthews going to Atlanta. No players are involved in the deal, according to Woj.
Well, what this means is, and I have to believe that Bill Duffy, Luka Doncic's agent, was very instrumental in this. And there is the height of irony here, because Bill Duffy and the Mavericks have had a very poor relationship for over a decade, going back to Steve Nash leaving for the Phoenix Suns and the Mavericks not getting any compensation at all when Nash left. And the Mavericks thought that Nash's back was an issue, mm-hmm. and they didn't make what they felt was a legitimate offer. The Suns came in right away and made a $60 million offer for 5 years, and at that point, Don Nelson, and I'll never forget this, the Mavericks were playing the Chinese national team in an exhibition game over at TCU, and the news broke that Nash was leaving, and at that point, Nelly looked like he had lost his dog. He looked like his life had just ended, that Steve Nash was allowed to leave for the Phoenix Suns. And since then, the Mavericks have not had very many dealings with Bill Duffy. The only mm-hmm. client that they had in that time was Rajon Rondo. And
we'll see how that turned out.
Well, but now I have to believe that if this went through the way it did, with no players changing hands, that things have absolutely changed to the point where they have kissed and made up, because this is where Doncic ultimately wanted to be.
And you can hear from the crowd here at Canton Hall. We are right next to the Bomb Factory in Deep Ellum at the Mavs draft party here. The official Mavs draft party, it's just been announced on the big screen as Adrian Wojnarowski appeared on television on ESPN to alert the crowd. And for this, as we go to the podium.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Luka Doncic from Ljubljana, Slovenia, and Real Madrid.
19-year-old Luka Doncic, without question, the most accomplished international player that has ever made his way to the NBA draft. It is not even debatable what has occurred over the last 9 months with his Slovenian team playing in the backcourt with Goran Dragic, winning the European Championship, and then in the last month, his Real Madrid team winning the EuroLeague, which is the second best league in the world, all the best teams in Europe playing against each other, and then as recently as Tuesday night, completing a victory in the Spanish League, the ACB, in a four-game victory over Roddy Bobois, Saskia Baskonia, and Doncic, for the moment, putting on an Atlanta Hawks hat. That will apparently change to a Mavericks hat.
Yeah, don't get used to that look for Doncic in red. And at 19 years old and a EuroLeague MVP, this is more than what you would consider to be, say, a guy that as a freshman, a sophomore, or even a junior or senior that got to Player of the Year in NCAA college basketball. We all know that the Euro League is the second best basketball league in the world, and for him to be the best in that league with professionals, he comes into the NBA with obviously much more professional experience, and so you know immediately that his floor should be the highest. Now, what his ceiling is up for a lot of debate.
We know he can play.
Yeah.
The bottom line, Rick Carlisle likes guys who can play, that who learn fast, catch things on the run, and yeah, there'll be a learning curve, even for Luka Doncic, even if he has played in the second best league in the world, that league is still not what the NBA is.
And Coop, we've heard there's talk about how Doncic had said, well, I want to be a primary ball handler, had the ball in my hand so I can get guys a shot. Look, he has played with other point guards. He played with Goran Dragic. So he playing with another gentleman that's in the house tonight, Dennis Smith Jr., does give Rick Carlisle an ability to have two different playmakers on the floor.
Well, I had a chance to visit with Dennis Smith a little bit earlier today, and told him that this was a possibility. And his eyes just lit up, and a smile went ear to ear, saying, hey, bring him on. I am a fan of Luka Doncic. And anything that makes life easier for Dennis Smith has to be a good thing for the Mavericks. Back in the studio, where'd you want us to go?
Let Maria talk to Doncic.
Okay, let's go and hear Luka Doncic right now.
Yeah, I've been talking to them, you know. I've been talking to a lot of teams, but especially Dallas, you know. They've been talking to me. They were so nice to me. And I'm glad, you know. I'm just happy to be in the NBA, you know. I'm just happy to be a part of that.
Now, Luka says that the only reason he hasn't heard anything is he doesn't have internet here in the States yet, so he hasn't heard from any coaches or any organization. But you have been a pro in the Euro League. How do you think that will compare to your pro career in the NBA?
I mean, you know, I have a lot of ex-NBA players in my team. I play against a lot of ex-NBA players, and I have some great teammates, you know, and they taught me so much, you know, and especially the NBA players, they've been talking to me about the NBA. Like the whole year, you know, they know I was coming, so I think I'm prepared.
All right, well, thanks for your time, Luka. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Luka Doncic visiting with Maria Taylor of ESPN Television and wearing an Atlanta Hawks hat. And again, that very awkward look.
I know.
But one of the things that Atlanta was thinking over the last couple of days was that, you know, they've got it, frankly, their attendance stinks. And has always stunk, even when their teams were good. They're looking for star power. I mean, I think Doncic has star power.
I agree.
And, you know, he carries himself like an NBA player. But we do know that Trae Young was absolutely electric in his certainly in the first half of the season at Oklahoma. And they're looking – they're redoing Phillips Arena right now, putting about $300 million into that facility. Including a bar just underneath the basket, Will, is right up your alley.
Yeah.
They're looking for somebody who's going to do things that will bring people into the building.
Coop, I understand that. But I can't understand anybody that is going to mortgage the future of the team just in order to sell tickets. And I'm hoping that Trae Young turns out to be a good pro. I have got major reservations as to what he is going to be able to do at the next level. I have reservations as to why he seemed to peak in the beginning and middle of the season and did not get any better towards the end of the season. Not just defensively, but even offensively, he seemed to come down. He seemed to decline. If you're Atlanta and that's what you want, that's what you can get. If you're Dallas, this is what you take here, because I think you've got a much more legitimate star in Luka Doncic than you've got in Trae Young.
Well, remember, again, the general manager of the Hawks was the assistant general manager at Golden State. Mm-hmm. And they saw a bunch of people taken in front of them. And there was Steph Curry available to be taken. The Knicks were trying to trade up to get him, wanted him in New York and in that atmosphere.
Sure.
And the Warriors said no, and that was the beginning. It took a while for it to all come to fruition. But they saw the electricity of what Steph Curry was capable of. And they're clearly counting on Trae Young to be able to do that for Atlanta. As, again, they're pretty much tearing this thing to the studs in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
And starting all over again.
You saw it starting, you know, last year. And I think that, you know, Trae Young, I don't think there's any doubt, at least to me, that he's the best shooter in the draft. But at 6'1", 178, he's smaller than Seth Curry. Incredible skilled scorer and passer, but you can't get over – you know, will he be able to play and score in NBA traffic? He could split defenders very well, but if he gets into areas where there's lots of individuals around, that is not where he excels. He turns it over an awful lot. You know, the size and length already not being there. He had some trouble when in regards to that, and particularly when he went up against other tougher competition. Look at Colin Sexton. When those two went one-on-one, Colin Sexton is a tenacious defender.
Here is the Memphis Grizzlies pick.
In the 2018 NBA Draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State University.
The youngest player in this draft. Jaren Jackson will not turn 19 years old until mid-September. And in many ways, Will, that was the calling card for him.
Yeah.
And why, despite his physical ability, and it, as great as it is, the fact that he is so young and a pup is just totally something that teams are in love with.
I think so,
too. They can just mold that. It's like a piece of clay that really has no form or function.
Absolutely. I can't see it any other way, Coop, because if you look at the player that Mo Bamba is against Jaren Jackson Jr., I can't say that Jaren Jackson Jr. is the better player. Yeah, you could say, okay, well, Will, he shot 39% from three. He didn't take a whole lot of them. You know, he didn't play a whole lot on the floor. He gets up and down. He's a good two-way player, but he's got this really odd release on his jump shot. Is that going to translate? As players come out and close out on him on three, will he be able to get that off? He's a poor passer and not very explosive. He's definitely more fluid. But you're obviously looking at somebody at 18 years old with very good athletic ability, good shot blocking, can rebound, that there's a lot more upside with him than you may see in Mo Bamba.
Well, there's elite shot blocking.
Yeah.
In fact, his shot blocking numbers per 40 minutes are better than Mo Bamba's.
They are.
The biggest issue for Jaren Jackson has been that he can't stay on the floor. He's been in foul trouble. Too many fouls.
Goes for shot fakes a lot.
Right. And again, when you're that young, you get yourself into trouble, and you just have to hope that he's going to figure out something like that. But also knowing that they're probably close to tearing it down to the studs as well,
mm-hmm.
It could very well be that at some time during the course of next season that Marc Gasol winds up being traded, and then you get Jaren Jackson to play, you know, as a small ball five, as much as 6'11 and 250 is a small ball five.
Right, and I think you can get him on the floor with Marc Gasol, but let's say, Coop, that they decide to keep Gasol and then he's going to be playing behind him. I think that could benefit Triple J, you know, moving forward.
Absolutely, and of course, his dad played in the NBA for 12 years, most of his time in San Antonio. Also a great player for John Thompson at Georgetown. So he certainly has the defensive gene down. To be able to play at both ends of the floor. He's an interesting prospect, a guy who can block shots like that and shoot 40% from the three-point range.
And he's got a great jacket on. What is that, velvet? Boy, does that look good. Glistening with copper. He does a really good job guarding bigs who spread the floor as well, Chuck. Great on the perimeter. Good on the low post. You mentioned he's an elite shot blocker. He switches on every ball screen. He can guard 1 through 5. That's a tremendous asset to have. And so he does have his shortcomings in my eyes, especially as a shooter, despite that 39% from three. With a 7'5 wingspan, that size, you know, you look at him kind of like Miles Turner. There's a tremendous amount of upside, but as you could tell, I'm pretty much a Mo Bamba guy, so I'm still a little surprised that he got taken before him.
Now we've got Atlanta, or since we have the Mavericks pick, which will be Trae Young, and then you would think that we can start talking about Mo Bamba and where he would certainly fit into what Orlando wants. The fact that Trae Young has gone before Orlando is a major disappointment to Orlando, which desperately needs a point guard. They still may take one, but I think Young was certainly at the top of their list.
I wonder that. You may very well be right there, but, you know, I had him as a third point guard on my list. I'm in love with Colin Sexton. I love his game, his tenacity. He's a ferocious competitor. He doesn't have anywhere near the jump shot that Trae Young has, but the ability is there to do that. He is smaller as well at 6'1", because you've also got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out of Kentucky, who has got much more length, but I don't think quite the skill offensively and defensively I saw from Sexton.
Here's Adam Silver with the Mavericks announcement.
In the 2018 NBA Draft, the Dallas Mavericks select Trae Young from the University of Oklahoma.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves a trade. The Mavericks are going to acquire Luka Doncic from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Trae Young and a future first-round draft choice. We don't know necessarily what the protections are. That's the thing that has to be worked out. But you would think, quite frankly, that there would not be very much protection on that pick. Maybe top five.
Yeah.
Maybe even top three.
Yeah, the report that it may be one through five. Look, I'm in agreement with you. So essentially, you're going to be giving up a couple top picks for Luka Doncic. You know, we'll see if that turns out to be worth it for you, as it looked like before. It could be just for some contracts and, you know, trying to take some relief off of Atlanta while also shipping off Wesley Matthews. But that certainly changed.
Adam Silver announcing the latest selection in the NBA draft. Mo Bamba, the Texas center, going to the Orlando Magic, who's tandem of John Hammond and Jeff Weltman are known throughout the NBA for their love of length. And, Will, there is no one more lengthy than Mo Bamba.
No question about it. I think a kid that really developed his shot much more than we saw in the beginning of the year at Texas. At the end of the year, showed a lot of touch, but he's incredibly fast, and not just with his length, and somebody that's going to get up and down the floor, very good in transition, can block with both hands. I see the upside with him. Aside from DeAndre Ayton, I got to put him aside. I can really see Bamba being the best big man after Ayton.
But the big news tonight, provided by your Dallas Mavericks, as they have acquired the rights to Slovenian star Luka Doncic from the Atlanta Hawks, who chose third. The Mavericks, with the fifth pick, took Trae Young and sent him to Atlanta. The Mavericks will also convey their 2019 first-round pick with slight protection that we're still trying to get our handle around to Atlanta as well. There's probably no member of the media right now who knows more about Luka Doncic, the person, than Mina Kimes from ESPN, who wrote the definitive profile of Luka Doncic back in April. And she joins us now for a few minutes to give us the deep dive into just who is this guy that the Mavericks have gotten their mitts into. Mina, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is pretty stunning. You know, when I first started working on the story, it was in December. And at that point, Luka was pretty widely seen as the number one pick in the draft, maybe number two. So for Dallas to get him, with the trade even, it's quite a turn of events, and I think pretty optimal for the Mavs.
Well, we obviously know, and we've seen highlights of him. Some of us have been able to actually see full games of him. But you had a chance to see him away from the floor, get an idea of just what he's like. Is he your normal 19-year-old kid, or is there an old soul somewhere in there?
He's very much a normal 19-year-old kid in terms of music and taste and just kind of being goofy. But he's had a very unusual life. You know, he moved away from home in Slovenia to Madrid, over 1,000 miles away, when he was 13 years old. Didn't speak a lick of Spanish, which I always, when people ask me, what do you think about him coming to the U.S., I said, well, he's lived away from home all of his life. And he, you know, grew up in that very prestigious academy system at Real Madrid. So he's been playing with people who are much older than him and just around people who are much older than him for a very long time.
Mina, what's the effect that he has on teammates, especially over in the EuroLeague, that could be a lot older and have more solidified, I guess, in careers over there, for this young kid to play as well and have as much success? How do they react to him?
That was something I really wanted to see when I went over there and, you know, got to go to a couple EuroLeague games, is what is it like when the best player in your team is an 18-year-old kid, which is not normal in EuroLeague. I can't stress that enough. You know, for people who aren't aware, like, it is the second best league outside the world, and most of the best players are grown men in their 20s, some NBA veterans. So for an 18-year-old kid, he was 18 at the time, to come in, not only put up the kind of numbers he did, but even get the number of minutes he did, is very unusual. They responded to him very well. You know, he's such a competitor. I think, you know, he's so hungry. They really looked to him as a leader, I think, by the end of the season.
And he had to fill in because their starting point guard, Sergio Yule, who the Rockets own his rights and have been trying to get him to come to the NBA for years and have not been able to do that. He got hurt. He hurt his knee. And Doncic had to take on that role as a lead dog at 19 years old, which is really just astonishing. I mean, you know, we just keep saying, for all the great international players that have come over and have thrived over here, there is no one who is better prepared to take on whatever it is the NBA can throw at him than Luka Doncic.
Yeah, and he played a number of roles as a result of the injury you mentioned. You know, pretty much 1, 2, 3, 4, he's been the primary playmaker. He's played on and off the ball. I would encourage Mavs fans to go watch the Eurobasket games, which he played alongside Goran Dragic, and Slovenia was this Cinderella story, and they won. Because it's very, very interesting to see him and Dragic play alongside each other. They really switched off ball handling responsibilities. It's some really fun, creative basketball.
Yeah, you know, and we're talking with Mina Kimes of ESPN, the magazine, Around the Horn. You've seen her on Highly Questionable as well here on ESPN Radio, 103.3 FM. We were mentioning that earlier because there was this talk, a rumor about how Doncic really wanted to play as a primary ball handler, yet, as you just said, he played with Goran Dragic. How do you see that fit with Dennis Smith Jr. and with Rick Carlisle?
Well, I think Carlisle is going to love it. I think that's, as soon as I saw the pick, I was like, oh, Rick Carlisle is going to love this. You know, DSJ is kind of the bigger question for me. Can he take on occasionally a secondary role? He also, I think, will have to step to defense. That's not Luka Doncic's strength, right? He needs to be next to a plus defender. So there is going to be a little bit of adjustment period. But I think they're both such, you know, young, exciting, smart basketball players. They'll figure it out. And I just love also the idea of Luka playing alongside Dirk. Coming from a program like Real Madrid, I think it might have been difficult for him to go to a team with no veteran leadership. Here, he comes into probably the best situation possible in that regard.
I can tell you, having visited with Dennis Smith tonight, that when I told him what might go down, he was grinning so hard you could not take the smile off of his face. He is a Doncic fan, so I have a feeling that you know what we saw last year, and I realize it's different with James Harden and Chris Paul in Houston, two veteran guys learning how to play with each other. You know, but this is kind of what we're talking about here, that, you know, and Rick has always said, you know, I want multiple ball handlers and playmakers on the floor, and now you've got a guy who's 6'3" and a guy who's 6'8", as opposed to a guy who maybe 6'2" and 5'11".
Yeah, I was laughing because I was saying the same thing, but I was nervous about, I was thinking that, you know, Harden and Paul don't want to compare
right.
Young guys. But
I'll go there. I'll just throw it completely over the top on this night.
But that's what they want to be. You're correct. Absolutely. That's the ideal. And just, I mean, that a level of talent in the backcourt, it is really, really ideal for a young team to grow around that as a core.
Yeah, why can't we do that? Why can't we just compare skills? I mean, I did the same thing the other day. I was like, I'm watching tape on him, and I was like, you know, I'm a Kentucky boy, and I go, you know, I kind of remember little Antoine Walker a little bit like that. And people looked at me like, oh, no, oh, no. I'm like, well, wait a minute here. I'm not trying to put too much on this kid. When you look at his skill, go ahead.
I was going to say, in my piece, Luka said he likes the way Ben Simmons plays, and he kind of plays similarly, and immediately people say, oh, he's comparing himself to Ben Simmons. And I was like, no, he just likes the way the guy plays.
When you watch him, and you mentioned, you know, the defense a little bit, what do you think are some of the weaknesses in his game?
You know, he's about an average defender. He competes, which is so important, you know, early on, I think, on defense. You hear this over and over, he's not a transcendental athlete. And I think that's correct. He's got the size and the build, but he is a touch slower maybe than some of the guys in the draft. However, I do think coming to the States, he's going to go to P3 this summer, where a lot of the NBA guys go to, you know, develop their bodies. There's a lot of upside there for him. So he's not a bad athlete. He's just, and it is honestly kind of where the Harden thing came to mind, he's just not, you know, Mo Bamba.
You know, it's Draymond Green knows that James Harden's a pretty good athlete. When he got dunked on, right? I mean,
a lot of guys know.
And I think Doncic will probably figure that out on some level. Did you get a sense of the work ethic? Is he a first guy in the gym, last guy out kind of guy?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to know because I think, you know, it's a little bit different over there, right? So the style of training and practice and all of that, it's different. And that's going to be an adjustment for him. But I would say, you know, nobody, that wasn't the report I got from anyone. Not that he wasn't a hard worker, but nobody said, oh, he's a, you know, a first in, last out kind of guy. What they all said was that he is a competitor and he wants the last shot, which is, again, for an 18-year-old in that league to always want the last shot is not common. But that was what I heard from him over and over from teams, both on his Spanish team and also on the Eurobasket team, the Slovenian team as well.
Well, and anybody who questions his desire to take the big shot. They just need to see the little clip of that last shot that he took on Tuesday when Real Madrid won the Spanish
League. Oh, he got lucky. Come on.
But he won.
So many clips like that, guys. So many.
That was very much an homage to Dirk, a one-legged fadeaway three-pointer to go win the game.
That looked like a floater.
Mina Kimes from ESPN The Magazine joining us here as well. We talk about Luka Doncic, who is going to be a Maverick. The Mavericks and Atlanta Hawks working out a trade tonight. Trae Young will go to Atlanta. So give us the off-the-court stuff. What is he like? What's the music? What's the food? Some people say he's probably got to drop about 8 to 10 pounds. Is he a junk food guy? Can they get him to eat right and all that kind of stuff?
I feel like that's my fault because in my story, we went to Hard Rock Cafe and he got nachos and everybody lost it on the nachos. He's a 19-year-old kid. He's going to learn how to eat the lean chicken and veggies or whatever. I don't think it'll be a problem. But as far as just kind of what he's like, I think the most surprising thing I found, when you watch him play basketball, he's extremely emotional, competitive, he's actually quite quiet. He's, sort of soft-spoken, and I wouldn't say an introvert, but he's definitely not the loudest guy in the room. So it's an interesting kind of contrast between on and off the court.
Now, when you say, I know over there that he is quite a star. I mean, he's the star. Now he's going to come over here to the United States, and, he's the number three player taken overall in the draft. How do you think it's going to affect him over here coming from what he's been over the last couple years in Spain?
I think, he is a star, but I will say, as popular, as good as EuroLeague is, Real Madrid is still more known for its soccer team. So he's certainly not a Ronaldo or even any member of, the team-level star there. He's much more famous in his home country of Slovenia. I think he might be the second most famous person there after Melania Trump now. But I don't think he'll have too much of a problem. This is a guy who's basically already been in the NBA. I can't explain. He's already had such a professional lifestyle that I actually think in some ways the adjustment will be easier than someone coming from college.
I said about him today to someone on Twitter that we all know, his tangibles – are really good. His intangibles are absolutely off the charts, and that's what separates him from everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you're just talking about a guy who wants to win so badly. Like, it is visible when you watch, and he gets upset, and that's something he's going to have to control. But with some of these guys, we talk about effort during the games or drive. That's not an issue with Luka Doncic, and it's so obvious, I think, to everybody in the NBA who I talked about around him. This guy is such competitive.
Mina, we really enjoyed the piece that you had up there. Enjoy your work. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it, Mina. Mina Kimes from ESPN The Magazine joining us again. The definitive piece that was first published in April about Luka Doncic and his life at Real Madrid. Well, Luka Doncic's life is now in Dallas as a member of the Mavericks. This means, Will, that the Mavericks could miss the playoffs. But if they come up big in the lottery, they still keep that pick, and they get another player, and then it just conveys the next year.
So the luck that they didn't have this year, actually, they get next year would be the hope right there. That's what we call karma around here.
Other than making the playoffs, which would just be, like, the greatest thing that ever happened if they could possibly pull that thing off.
Of course. I thought a couple of interesting things in there that we heard from Rick Carlisle. Even if they had stayed, they're going to get a guy that they really liked. We heard that they also liked Mo Bamba as well as Michael Porter Jr. Interesting, Michael Porter Jr. still hasn't gone as of yet. That he can make major strides with strength training. It's something that I thought I saw, with Doncic that can improve. I was careful in how I was putting this because he's not fat in any way whatsoever.
Right.
He had a little doughiness.
Oh, he's doughy, yeah.
Yeah, a little doughiness to him, right? And so I thought, well, with him, because he's not fleet of foot, he's not fast, if he is in better shape with the strength training, is that going to help him be a little bit quicker, a little bit better on the defensive end? Is he going to finish better in traffic? That was one of the things that, I know that a lot of scouts – thought he could get better in. So interesting to hear that from Rick Carlisle.
Well, we have a lot of people, I believe, who want to talk about what has happened here tonight with the Mavericks acquiring Luka Doncic. And so let us visit the phones, 855-787-1033. Will, my screen has disappeared. So
okay, yep, I'll take it over here if we still have our guys back there. Colton in Dallas, that's where we'll start. What up, Colton?
Hi, yeah, I was wondering with if Doncic, in your opinion, what you think about him maybe being a good fit for the Mavs, given having Dirk and his guidance and some of the infrastructure within the organization and helping an international player develop so that he doesn't end up like some of the recent international lottery picks.
Well, I mean, obviously Dirk being there helps. Donnie Nelson's background in international basketball helps. Tony Ronzone, who's the Mavericks, one of the Mavericks directors.